today's scripture comes from Titus 3, 4, and 7. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Let us be hearers and doers of the Lord's word. Let us show love to the unlovable. Amen.
We all get to heaven. What a graceful time that'll be. As we sing this song, let us prepare our thoughts for the man of God as he come before us to break unto us the bread of life. Let us all be standing as we await the arrival of our evangelist, Brother Emmett Collins. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansion, bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory while we walk the pilgrim pathway. Clouds will overspread the sky, but when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus and shout the victory. Let us then be truth and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. Sing and shout the victory.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Paul says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ and God forgave you. Amen. Good morning. And whether you're a member of this Franklin family or a visitor or a virtual guest of ours, I'm grateful that God has allowed you to be present with us on this day. Grateful that he's brought us together for yet another opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among those of us who would be the saints of God. Good morning. Now, I'm going to have you to put your finger on a couple of scriptures this morning, so we need to be ready for those. Shortly, I'm opening my Bible to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, Jeremiah, then Lamentations. Lamentation, chapter 3. We're also going to go to Revelation, chapter 3. Lamentation, chapter 3, and Revelation, chapter 3. And also, we're going to visit briefly Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, chapter 2. And Titus, chapter 3. Now, if you got Lamentation, Revelation, and Titus down, they're all chapter 3. Ephesians is chapter 2. And my invitation is for you to join me there as we look at these verses for today's lesson entitled God's Kindness. God's Kindness. Lamentation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 2, and Titus chapter 3, reflecting on God's kindness. Amen? You know, everybody needs a little kindness in their lives. I know I need some myself, and we all need to give kindness back as well. Amen. Sitting around the table has been relegated, at least in my point of view, to that of obscurity. Just sitting around the table, you don't see a whole lot of people doing that anymore. But in the first century, where we read in our New Testament, sitting around the table was the social event of the day. It was it. So you read about a Passover meal, and you read about a wedding feast, and you read about the Last Supper that Jesus ate with his disciples. In Matthew chapter 8, verse number 11, Jesus speaks these words. He said, "I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places in the feast at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Can you imagine? I just want to paint a mental picture for you this morning. I want to take you on a little excursion this morning. Can you imagine sitting down and having dinner with Jesus? Can you imagine that? Realizing that sometimes conversations can be very awkward, I wonder, what would you talk to Jesus about? What about telling him how spiritual you are? Would you talk to him about that? I mean, after all, he's Jesus. What about your financial or your real estate holding? Would you tell him about that? "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills." Would you talk about that? What about sports? Maybe Jesus has a favorite team, and as you sit and eat, maybe he can expound on that team for you. What will it be? What's it going to be? Look at this verse one more time. "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." I want to tell you that verse, by the way, regardless of what people have thought in the past. That verse, by the way, was not intended to intimidate us, but on the contrary, it's intended to comfort us. It's just God's way of saying, look, this is the kind of close and intimate relationship that I desire to have with you, and this is the type of closeness you should also desire to have with me. In the first century, friends and family, they shared a meal together. So as you sit and as you dine with Jesus again, my question to you is, what would you say to him? What would you say to Jesus? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul said, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In everything give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus for you and also for me. Listen, if you want to do something through Christ that would please God, Paul said what you can do is offer gratitude to God for his kindness. If you want to do something for God through Christ, Paul says just try to offer gratitude to God for his kindness. There's a song that we sing in the church. The song is called "Thank You, Lord." Thank you, Lord. Some of the verses goes, "I come before you today, and there's this one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've given to me, for all the blessings I cannot see. With a grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name. For all you've done in my life, you took my darkness and you gave me light. Thank you, Lord. For you took my sin and my shame. You took my sickness and healed all my pain. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord." You know, there are three things that maybe we won't remember to talk about when we sit down with Jesus, or even appreciate some things that come from God. I want to offer these things today for your consideration. Three things I want to offer for your consideration that maybe when you sit down with Jesus, you may be able to talk to him about these things. The first one is, every day brings renewed kindness. Each and every day of our lives brings renewed kindness. You got your Bibles, Lamentation chapter 3? Lamentation chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. The Bible says, because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will hope in him. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, God, to me. I want you to think about that. I want you to seriously think about that. Every single morning, God does something to renew and refresh his kindness towards you and me in this world. Doesn't miss a morning. And Jesus said in Matthew 6, 9, and 11, this then is how you ought to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Give us this day our daily bread. And what's amazing about that is that that is what God does. He does just that. He gives us our daily bread every, I don't want you to miss that. Every single day God gives that to us. I remember in the book of Malachi when speaking to those wicked priests, even in chapter 1 and verse number 2, God says, I have loved you. But you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's son, Jacob's brother, declares the Lord? He says, yet I have loved and chosen Jacob. God declared his love to Israel, and they say, wherein have you ever loved us? Have you ever loved us, God? And he said, I have shown you my love every single day because I have chosen you. There are too many people who choose someone else and fail to show them. Should we fool with that? Oh, I choose you. I vow my life to you. And soon as you turn the curve and away from the crowd, you don't even consider that spouse or that mate. You don't consider that relationship. He says, you're telling me I don't love you. I have chosen you. You see, God baptized Israel in his love. But they hadn't realized it and they wouldn't even acknowledge it. God has done the same thing for us today. He's done the same thing for us today. This day, God has baptized us in the proof of his love. Already today, this day, God extends his kindness by giving you a body with the strength to rise. He extends his kindness by giving you a bed to sleep on. He extends his kindness by giving you clothes and food, houses and cars. God extends his kindness by giving us freedom to worship without fear. He extends his kindness by giving us scripture to read, to hold in your hand and embrace with your heart. I want to tell you that this morning, this day, God's kindness has given us hope. I mean, we all have friendships to enjoy. We have sight to see. We have ears that hear, and we have air to breathe. God is kind to me. So count your many blessings. Count them. Not so much to take an inventory or as a basis to boast, but as a reminder to be grateful for his kindness he has shown to all those of us who are undeserving. Anybody ever been kind to you just because they can? And you wonder what in the world is wrong with them? Why are you doing that? You must have an ulterior motive for doing that. Random acts of kindness are wonderful. I want to tell you that God's acts of kindness are not random. Every single day, God does something for us to show his kindness towards each and every one of us. Every day. He renews it. It's new every morning. And he's faithful in that each and every day. He gives it to us who are undeserving. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This whole world and they that dwell therein, everything we enjoy, everything comes because God decided this morning to renew his kindness to us right now. I'm talking, you might not understand what everything means. Everything we enjoy today comes because God has decided to renew his kindness to us right now. Because he owns everything. Everything that is in his hands, he can do with it whatever he wants to. But today, today he decided to renew his mercy, to renew his kindness. He decided to renew it to you and to me. And to grant us all those things we mentioned a few minutes ago. And he does that whether we realize it or not. Isn't that incredible? He gives us his kindness whether we realize it or not. He does that whether you think about it or not. And he does it every day. Every day. Matthew 5:45. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good every day. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust every day. Amen. Here's what's amazing. Here's what's amazing to me. And sometimes it just gives me the chills. Every day God decides to do that. Whether we thank him for it. Here we go. He decides to give us all that he has and all that he was, whether we thank him for it or not. You remember the story in Luke 17 about the lepers? Jesus asked this question. He says, were there not 10 cleansed? Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give me praise except this foreigner? And he says, you know what? You rise and go. Your faith has made you well. God renews his kindness and his mercies, whether we thank him for it or not. And from this story, it looks like 90% of us never, ever. You know who you are. I'm there too. Sometimes I don't thank God, and I don't know how God puts up with me at all. I can't tell you. But I know that he renews his kindness and his mercies, whether we thank him for it or not. But what Jesus didn't say was this. Listen to what he didn't say. He says, you know what? Since you came back to thank me, you're going to get to keep your renewed health. You're going to get to keep your clean skin. But the other 9, I'm going to take it away. He could have done that. He could have taken back the act of kindness that was bestowed upon them, but he did not do that. Come go with me for a second. Let's take a ride. Imagine what would happen if God Almighty every day took back from us the blessings that he gave us. Those that we don't thank him for. Those we just take for granted. Imagine if God started every day with a fresh slate and gave us all those things we just mentioned. And as the day goes on, he gets to a point and he says this, because you've not thanked me for my kindness on the day, I will take it back. The air you breathe, you didn't thank me for, I'm going to take it. The heart that beats inside your body, because you didn't thank me for it, I'm going to take it back. That sound mind of yours, I'm going to take it back. That good health, the salvation from sin, I'm going to take that back. All because you didn't thank me today for my kindness. Can you imagine? Come with me now. In your mind's eye, can you imagine? Deep down in your soul, can you imagine what life would be if God were to rescind his kindness? Listen. Listen, we get so fixated on our circumstances that we miss the evidence of God's love. We take it for granted. Just like Israel in the book of Malachi. God had baptized Israel in the proof of his love, and they didn't see it. One thing that people always say in this life, all the time, yet all the time, that why are you taking my kindness for? Why are you taking my kindness for weakness? Do we also take God's kindness for weakness? Do we acknowledge it? Do we thank him daily for that? Israel didn't. And as a result, you know what happened to their worship? It went into a downward spiral. And they became bored with God. Their spiritual lives became messy. And the same thing can happen to us. I want you to know this morning that every day brings renewed kindness from God. That's the first thing. The second thing I want you to know, I want you to run with me now. Every day brings renewed strength. Listen to the scripture. Oh, it's beautiful. And I want you just to picture this with your mind's eye. Psalm 68 and 19. Listen to God. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Did you hear that? He loads us up. Isn't that a vivid word picture the psalmist presents here? He loads us up and he loads us down as if he says, open up your arms. Open up your hands. Will I not pour out just nothing but mercy and blessings to you? Won't I just pour them out? And I'm going to pour them out so much that you won't even be able to carry them anymore. And I'm going to pour them out today. You ever found yourself just filled up with God and all of his blessings? You ever appreciate the fact that God fills us up? Every day, he says, open up your hands and open up your arms and I'm going to pour it out. Pour blessings out that you never, ever saw before in your life. So many that you just can't receive them. Ever thought about that? It's vivid, isn't it? It's vivid. And I'm going to give you those blessings today. Listen to me. You know I'm from Gramercy. Till you can't carry them no more. That's the God of our salvation, the psalmist talks about. That's the God of our salvation. Blessed be the Lord who daily does that. Daily does that. So why does he do it daily? Because Solomon said in Proverbs 27:1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. In truth, who in here knows what a day may bring forth? Could be fire. Could be a tornado. It could be a hurricane. It could be a snowstorm. Who knows what a day may bring forth? It could be a divorce that you didn't want. A debt that's unimaginable. Rebellion from a child. A diseased parent. A loss of a job. Loss of a relationship that you cherish. It could be the loss of a possession that you truly enjoy. But Jesus, in all his wisdom, Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, he says, therefore, don't you worry about tomorrow. So many of us do that, don't we? Jesus says, don't you worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And we need some kindness. I need some kindness. We need to give some kindness back because each day has trouble of its own. And if you boil it all down, it basically says two things. The first thing it says is that life is hard, isn't it? Life is hard. Job 14:1 says, man who's born of a woman is but a few days and full of trouble. Life is hard. So when you look at this verse, We in our own minds sometimes, we figure we might be able to beat the odds and live a little longer than that, longer than a few days. No matter what you're saying, Joe, we're going to live longer than a few days, we say to ourselves. Because the average lifespan is 78.6 years. So we become confident about beating that first half. But listen to me. You won't beat that second half. Not going to beat it. Full of trouble? You're not going to beat that. Everybody experiences some of that. Everybody gets a taste of trouble. There are going to be times in your life when burdens come that will literally take your breath away. There are going to be times in your life when burdens come that will literally knock you to your knees. It'll steal your sleep and destroy your appetite. There are going to be times in your life when burdens come that will bring fear, worry, and may even cause you to doubt your faith. There are going to be times in your life when burdens are going to come that's going to produce so many tears in your eyes, they're going to be flooded and uncontrollable. You ever been there? Listen, we live in a world that's infected with the unkind ways of sin. With the unkind ways of sin, and we need the kindness of God. The unkind ways of sin leaves us with broken promises and jobs that are not complete and people who are not true. They are liars. It leaves us with heartaches that cut us deeply and they wound us. They leave scars. Life is hard. But God, in the midst of all that, God is good. And we say the old cliche that God is good all the time and all the time. Let me tell you, God does, he transcends time. So what the phrase ought to be is that God is just good. Because every day he pours down on us so much kindness, we don't have enough arm space, our hands, to even receive it all. In the midst of it all the stuff you're going through, know that God is not only good, but he is a kind God. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, some people don't believe that. Some people believe that's just a cliche. But I want to tell you that God, in all his kindness and all his power, can actually do something about your situation. This isn't a fantasy we live in. We live in a spiritual reality, and God can rectify your situation. Jeremiah chapter 32. 26 and 7, listen to God. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, behold, I am the Lord. Listen to this. Write it down. I need you to write this down. Jeremiah 32, 26 through 27. Write it down. Jeremiah 32, 26 through 27. We talk about the kindness of God. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Listen. Is there anything too hard for me? God asked that question. Is there anything that I can't do? I'm the God of all mankind. And in the New Testament, Jesus would say in Mark 10, 27, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. I need you to hurry up and believe that. Think about it again from Jeremiah's perspective. Here's the question for you. I need it just to go all through you. Is there anything too hard for me? Let me take you here. From my perspective, you couldn't even propose that question to me. You couldn't ask that to me. Is there anything too hard for you, Brother Collins? You better hurry up and know it. You better know it is. Yes, the answer is yes. There's that number that we call plenty. And there's plenty that's hard for me. Now, I don't know about you. Life might be just real easy for you. There might not be nothing at all that's hard for you. But for me, for this fellow right here, there's plenty that's hard for me. And yes, I do care for you. And I'll do what I can. But my ability pales in comparison to the Almighty God and what he can do. My kindness is incomparable to the richness of his great mercy. From my perspective, is anything too hard for me? Yes, it is. Let me tell you why. Because there's too many people and too many problems. And I would have to sit and prioritize and categorize those things. And you know what that would do for me? It would lead me to call a timeout. It'd be overwhelming. Because I can't deal with you and your issues kindly anymore. I need a break. I can't listen to your problems anymore. I've got my own, so please stop. But not God. Not God. The truth is, in our own strength, we really can't always be kind. We need help. We need God and his kindness. I mean, just today, when you're going to hear the brother stand before you and read the response card, just today there are going to be prayers from the heartbroken. There are going to be prayers from the hearts that are happy. There will be those who are insecure and afraid and need prayers. There are going to be those seeking advice, forgiveness, and reconciliation. They're going to be prayers involving complex situations and convoluted minds whose circumstances have taken years to come to fruition. And it will take even more years to unravel. There are going to be prayers for that this morning. And God says, is there anything too hard for me? There's no breaking point when it comes to being kind. God is kind. He has no breaking point. There's no straw to break his back. He's not the camel. Thank him for his willingness. Thank God for his willingness to kindly take on life's many burdens. And listen, if you're willing to give them to him, he will bear them for you daily. You don't have to bear them. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Just give it to me. Because we're not equipped enough to carry our own sins. That's why Jesus went to the cross. Give them to God. Give them to him. The third thing I want you to realize before I get down this morning is that every day brings renewed forgiveness. We're talking about the kindness of God. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. He's standing at the door. I could just see him there standing at the door with his cap in his hand. And he's knocking. And you're looking through them blinds to see who that is. And he says, open the door so I can come in and eat with you and you can eat with me. But it ought to be the opposite, shouldn't it? I think sometimes this scripture should be the opposite. Because here Jesus stands on the outside of an individual's life knocking, and he's trying to get in. But it seems to me like it ought to be the other way around. We ought to be trying to get into where Jesus is. Let me ask you this question. If Jesus walks into a room right now and sees us sitting at a table, and the table is just littered, just covered with our sins, he doesn't say, oh, I think I got the wrong table assignment. I'm not sitting with you because, see, my table is on the other side of the room. And I don't want to have anything to do with the table that he's sitting at. God doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He says, I'll come in, and I'm going to sit down with you, and I'm going to spend some time with you, and we're going to work out your issues of sin. Doesn't matter how many sins you have on the table, I'm coming to sit at your table right now. How about you? Whose table can't you sit at that has issues and problems? Whose table can't you sit at that needs prayers that you can offer? Whose table can't you sit at that needs your kindness extended to them? Whose table can't you sit at to get away from your own selfishness? He says, I'm coming in. If you open that door, I'm coming in. I'm going to sit with you, I'm going to spend some time with you, and we're going to work out these issues. And he's coming even though he knows that you don't extend him the same kindness. He's coming because sometimes you don't think about him as often as you should. He's still going to do it. He's coming to sit with you sometimes, even because you don't even live your life for him as faithfully as you should. He's still coming to sit with you. He wants to show you love. He wants to show you some care. He wants to show you the immeasurable kindness of God. There's a lot of folks that probably won't even want to sit with me. But God will. There's probably a lot of you out there who I wouldn't want to sit with either because of your own sins that's there, that's just on the table before my presence. But I'm not God. Jesus, I'm knocking. You don't have to sit with me. You don't have to sit with me, and I don't have to sit with you, but Jesus will. Amen. I need you to know that. I need you to know that I'm not the kind God. God, the eternal Almighty Jehovah. We need his kindness because I'm not that. You're not that. But you can receive Christ and learn to extend his kindness. You can do that if you want to. If you want to. Ephesians chapter 2. Isn't that one we said? Ephesians chapter 2 is wonderful. If you want to realize who God is and what he's done for your life, and embrace that. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were disobedient to God, and that made you deserving of God's wrath. And this was all self-inflicted. But God. But God, who's rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ, that in ages to come, listen to, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Mm. You know what this verse tells me? And read it again when you get home. Read it again. You know what this verse tells me? That God owes me nothing. I mean, if all he ever did was done through Jesus Christ, that's more than enough. And we should be eternally grateful. Grateful. Why? Because Jesus is all we have. Jesus is more than we have ever deserved. He's more than we'll ever need. Jesus is the kindness extended to us from God. Period. Paul said to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. We need to make sure we appreciate God's kindness towards us. Because we were deserving of something else, but he decided to give us his grace instead. We were deserving of something else, but he decided to give us his mercy instead. We were deserving of something else, but he decided to show us kindness instead. Every day, today, every single day brings renewed forgiveness. So what that means is, God never put you on blast like you would do me. Oh, here he comes again. You again? Man, you wearing me out, buddy. Every day and every week, you wearing me out with the same thing you asked for forgiveness last week. Why are you coming to me with the same thing? Go straighten up and come back again. Surprise him with something new. God doesn't do that. Doesn't do that. He just renews his forgiveness day by day. He just extends his kindness to us day by day. Here's what I want you to think about for a second, because a lot of us take this for granted. I want you to think about it. Have you ever sat at a table with a true, genuine, and intimate friend? Someone who truly loves you? Those who, no matter what the situation, no matter where you are, no matter the time, you could call them and be assured that they would do any and everything to oblige you, that they would go to the wall for you. Have you ever sat at the table with somebody like that? That's Revelation 3:20. That's the kindness of God. That's the kindness of God in and as Jesus Christ. And the kindness of God is saying, if you will open up the door of your heart to me, I'll come in and I will sit down. Regardless of what you've done, regardless if there's no room on the table for one more sin, I'll forgive you for all of that. All of that. Incredible, right? Incredible. Here's one more. Titus chapter 3. Didn't I give you that one? Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. Listen to God here. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, who he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. In closing, this is what I want to say. I want to see if I can sum all of this up. God's kindness is powerful. It's powerful. It changes things, and it will also change you. God's kindness redeems us. His kindness makes us whole. God's kindness gives us new life. His kindness takes up residence in us the minute we surrender to his love. You've got to surrender to win. The truth is, in our own strength, we really can't always be kind. We're just not. We need help. We need God. We need Jesus, who became for us God's kindness in the flesh. Is there anything too hard for God? How about a Christian repenting? How many times have you spurned the invitation and never repented about your sins before God? They lay it out on the table, and you say, Jesus, I'm eating it by myself. Don't come to my table. Because you don't want to give up those sins. Is anything too hard for God? How about your salvation? To those who are outside of the body of Christ, how about your salvation? How about hearing God's word and believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the true and living God? How about repenting of your sins and confessing Christ? We talk about everything and nothing, and Christ never rolls off our tongues. Christians, let's confess him. Let's be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. And the best kindness you can receive from God is putting on Christ, clothing yourselves with Christ. For we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:26. 27 says this: for as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on the kindness of God. Amen. And put on Christ. Oh, you can't beat that. I just wanted to give you a vivid mind picture this morning so you can walk with me and see God in his kindness. And know that every day he stands willing, whether you want it or not, to pour out his kindness on you and hands and arms that are so open that you just can't receive it all. We receive it today. Will you come and respond to God's invitation as we stand and sing the invitation song?
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life.
Whether we want to respond to God's invitation.
Tell me more of the beauty, see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty, beautiful word, wonderful word, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thy the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thy the glory, revive us again.
Church, we come to another portion of our worship service as communion, where we all should do as we are commanded to do on every first day of the week. I'll be reading from Matthew 26. And as they was eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciple and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom." Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come again thanking you. We want to thank you, Lord, for the bread, which represent the broken body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the cup, which represent his blood that was shed for many for the remission of our sins. Let us take this in remembrance of him. Amen. Now we come to another portion of our worship service is giving back what the Lord have prospered us with this week. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the church of Galatians, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for giving us an opportunity to give back. Praying for the ones who giving this morning, praying for the ones who want to give but don't have the means to give. Please, Lord, be with them. Lord, we pray, O Heavenly Father, that the money that we give back today would be an upkeep for the kingdom of God, where we can continue bringing souls to you. These things we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.